بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. صفات رذیلہ کا مادہ تو جبلی ہوتا ہے مگر فعل اختیار میں ہے. اگر یہ شبہ ہو کہ جبلت تو کسی کی بدل نہیں ہو سکتی, پھر جبلی صفات رذیلہ کی اصلاح کیوں کر ہو سکتی ہے؟ تو خوب سمجھ لو کہ مادہ جبلی ہوتا ہے مگر فعل اختیار میں ہے. بس مادہ بے شک زائل نہیں ہوتا مگر اس کے مقتضا پر عمل کرنا نہ کرنا اختیار میں ہے, اور اسی کا انسان مکلف ہے, اور بار بار اس مقتضا کی مخالفت کرنے سے وہ مادہ بھی ضعیف ہو جاتا ہے. اگر یہ شبہ ہو کہ جبلت تو کسی کی بدل نہیں ہو سکتی, پھر جبلی صفات رذیلہ کی اصلاح کیوں کر ہو سکتی ہے؟ تو خوب سمجھ لو کہ مادہ جبلی ہوتا ہے مگر فعل اختیار میں ہے. اس مادہ بے شک زائل نہیں ہوتا مگر اس کے مقتضا پر عمل کرنا نہ کرنا اختیار میں ہے, اور اسی کا انسان مکلف ہے, اور بار بار اس مقتضا کی مخالفت کرنے سے وہ مادہ بھی ضعیف ہو جاتا ہے. صفات رذیلہ کا مادہ تو جبلی ہوتا ہے مگر فعل اختیار میں ہے. اگر یہ شبہ ہو کہ جبلت تو کسی کی بدل نہیں ہو سکتی, پھر جبلی صفات رذیلہ کی اصلاح کیوں کر ہو سکتی ہے؟ تو خوب سمجھ لو کہ مادہ جبلی ہوتا ہے مگر فعل اختیار میں ہے. بس مادہ بے شک زائل نہیں ہوتا مگر اس کے مقتضا پر عمل کرنا نہ کرنا اختیار میں ہے, اور اسی کا انسان مکلف ہے, اور بار بار اس مقتضا کی مخالفت کرنے سے وہ مادہ بھی ضعیف ہو جاتا ہے. شیخ کی دعا و برکت کا درجہ اعانت کا ہے نہ کہ کفایت کا. شیخ کی دعا اور برکت کو بھی بڑا دخل ہے اصلاح میں, لیکن اس کا درجہ محض اعانت کا ہے نہ کہ کفایت کا.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اراؤنڈ 1990 سے منتھ آف رمضان, اراؤنڈ دیٹ ٹائم وی یوزڈ ٹو بی ان انڈیا فار دا فرسٹ ویک اور سو. So we want to meet Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abu Rahim Sahib Lajpuri, Fatawa Bahiya. So up to then there was some affinity, because we used to come see him every year, so there was an understanding. And he must have been over 90 at the time. He had a problem on the hip, and the physician that was treating him, he treated him with a type of a traction. So the traction is that they will tie some weights on your feet, so it will be so heavy that you can't move. Right? Can move left. So now he's so advanced in age, and they put that traction treatment. So this is now, because of this treatment, I lost the use of my feet. Because for that period, the muscles were inactive, and the blood wasn't flowing like it's supposed to be flowing. So the rule by Allah Ta'ala is you lose what you don't use. So you want to retain any muscle or any gift of Allah Ta'ala, then the way to retain it is to use it. مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. As you spend, then Allah Ta'ala will replace you. See, the commodity, the visible commodity that is used most is water, right? And then as you use it, Allah Ta'ala tops it up again. And heals again and he blesses you again. So what you use, then you are replaced with. That allows it to continue, right? In the animal kingdom, when you look at the sheep or the goat, it's always under the butcher's knife. You won't see it at any time but under the butcher's knife, right? But then, as they're slaughtering them, then you are replaced. Slaughter, and they are replaced. But the birth rate of the sheep or the goat is about 1 or 2, maximum 2. But it's so quickly replaced. It's gone, some other one is coming to just replace it. Now compare this to a dog or a cat. Their birth is 9, 8, 7, right? Call it litter, right? But you don't see that amount in the dogs or in the cats. Because man doesn't use them like how he uses sheep and goats. So the same happens. One is the physical limbs and one is the internal, right? So the physical, and you have internal organs, you have internal capacities, right? Potential. Person that uses his internal capacities, then that allows it to continue. He's using his mind, he's using his eyes, or he's using his mind, understanding, thinking, analyzing, looking for solutions. So then, because the mind is active, then in the advanced age also Allah Ta'ala allows his mind to continue, because he's been using it. Right? But now, he's shut his mind down now, came a little sick, went to a state of depression, and then he shut down all his capacities. What will happen then? Then, when he shut it down, so it will be shut down now. After some time, you won't have that use of your inner capabilities like you had in the past. So you use them, and Allah will allow it to prosper. If you don't use them, then you start losing them. So the mind, you can understand. Then the same happens with your spiritual energies, right? So the spiritual energy, right, you used it or you restricted it, right? So you saw something wrong, and there's an energy within you that's asking you to carry on, right? And there's a negative energy that's telling you, just hold back. So this tug of war will continue within the mind. Do it, don't do it. Do it, don't do it. That thing will carry on. And the sawab is based on that mujahada. Do, don't do. Do it, and don't do it. Right? So some will have it stronger, and some will have it lighter. But that tug of war continues. Now at no time you feel that I don't have that. You are seeing women all the time, as a doctor or a physician, or you are a buzrug. So whatever the case, but you mustn't experiment this thing yet. Because it's not dead, it's there. If you're not using it, it may be weak, but it's not totally dead. And person was sick, you see. So sick now, and then the woman of that place, maybe a slave girl, whatever, she's still but good looking, and he got involved with it. So he expressed, he mentioned it to his people, okay, this is what happened here. So the discussion was that bring him over. He said, he's so weak, that we are afraid if we carry him, his bones will just break. Right? And he carries on, but I will show you this part. He's so weak that if you carry him, his bones will just break, you see. in that state also, the nafs doesn't leave you. So don't you think now, you in Addington, or you in Balit Hospital, Slanga Hospital, and they're coming to serve you, so nothing can happen. Something can just strike. You're on the deathbed also, but something can just strike in your mind. Do this, get this, enjoy this. Some word of compliment for the good, some Cadbury chocolate as a present, right? So don't experiment in this thing here. They say, Room Rahmatullahi is a master of illustrations. So he says that when a villager, he was doing some work, he spotted a thick, fat, fat python, you know, top of the mountain, he saw it. Now, it was icy cold, so the thing had coiled around. Snakes, they need a lot of heat. They can't stand cold. Lots of heat they need. So that thing coiled around. So he tested it out, touched it, no movement. So he said, now I'll bring it to the town, you will have some fun. So he's like a bravado. See, a python. It's alive, carrying him, a snake handler. Right. Now, as he came down the mountain, now the sun came out with his brightness, his heat, and heat became intense. It became intense. The life shot into this python. Now, forget the crowd that was there. He also escaped. Yeah. So, if for some reason, at some time, you feel there is no urge in the nerves, don't think that it's dead. It just requires the nerves to get heated. Once get heated, then you see how it fires up. So don't think at any time, no, I am safe. Azaji of this famous line was, Barosa nahi is nafs ammara par. The nafs, you can't trust it. You can't trust it. With all this, what's going on in schools and universities, so one woman is saying, oh, I'm so disgusted, There was a boy, with a childhood friend from the age of 3, right? And now, I'm specializing in the university now. So we were friends, like brothers, talking. And then somehow he asked me to just join him for a drive. Then, he started making love, I resisted, and he climbed over me and he went the full way. I tried to resist and tried to do everything, but it's what he's done to me now. But I explained to him, if he's guilty, you also guilty. Equal guilty or more guilty. Because the hadith says it clearly, it is secluding with a man, and the third person is shaitan. What business you have to seclude with a stranger? With your father or your son was different. But now what business you had secluding? Now, they think, you know, we are professional peace people, so temptation, we don't become victims of temptation. We know the brains. Right, tell the brains doesn't work. The brains won't work. One man came to complain about his daughter. He says that she went through some bad experience, so she had to go and see a specialist doctor. The doctor cautioned him. So if it is that they need some treatment, then not in the absence of the husband. Husband or the brother must be around. Because it doesn't mean you're professional, then you don't have feelings. You definitely have feelings. And what happens at that moment, everything is forgotten at that time. And the nafs comes in, the shaitan comes in, and then you do the thing that is like impossible. You do the impossible thing, you will do it. So, coming back to this point here, that when you keep suppressing the nafs, right, then that power in the nafs, then that decreases. It's not dead, but it is dormant, right? As though it's not there. Now, when it's on tsuvi, then it's easy for you to leave out some haram. Not that now that thing is dead, no, but it's easy for you to leave out the haram. I talk over phone, so it's easy for you to leave it out. You talk of going to wrong places, you know, I said it's got a potential for wrong. So you've been restraining yourself all the time. When you're restraining yourself now, for you to give up these places becomes easy. Why? You restrain your self. So you're exercising your spiritual energies. When you're exercising your spiritual energies, now it's not that you don't have that energy to roam. You have it, but it's been restrained. Become weak. So it's easy for you to cross that hurdle. Why? Because you've been exercising it all the time. Same with good works as well. So good works now, for example, reading Quran Sharif, making dhur, or doing zikr, or performing tahajjud, right? Or being kind and courteous to guests, etc. You're quite kind to them. So you carry on doing these things here. Now to do this becomes easy. In fact, you feel difficult not to do it. Right? Now just the 5-10 namazes, I look at a person who's punctual in his namaz. So in the summers, it's a little bit of an effort to get up for namaz. They go to the masjid and perform namaz, right? But you ask yourself, the person that is in the routine of performing namaz, if for some reason he overslept, how will he feel for the whole day? The whole day he feels so miserable, right? So when you are exercising that energy, then as though you have some control. It's not control, but it's an additional support. You're getting an additional support from Allah Ta'ala because you've been exercising that energy. And I explained the rule is, you lose what you don't use. That means what you use, the thing carries on. Himmat-e marda, madad-e khuda. Now, people sometimes misconstrue these things, right? So now, one nazar of the buzrug, mera kaam ban jayega. I get one dua from him. So there's no doubt that the buzrugana deen's duas are important. But the duas is support. It is a support, right? You will still have to do or leave out. You will have to leave out, you have to do. So his dua is an additional support. So his dua, what will happen with his dua? It will give you that additional strength. But he can't come and stop you from the wrong. Leaving the wrong, you will have to do it yourself. Doing the right, you will have to do it yourself. But his dua will give you an additional support, right? Now just imagine, right, you're caught in a situation, right? Caught in a situation, a girl, right? And just then your father appears on the scene. Right? Just then, precisely, you hold him in great high esteem. What will happen? Yeah? What will happen now? Won't you freeze? Yeah? Before, you were in a seizure, right? Now you're in a freezer. Before you were in a seizure, now you're in a freezer. Can you see that? Just that one side. So that is not your father stopped you, but he's an assistant. It's a support. It'll give you an additional support to leave the thing or to do it. Like some people, I know of, right? They will see their sheikh every day around the time of tahajjud. So that's an additional support. It's not that the sheikh forced you to do the namaz, but he was an additional support. You had the time of bonding. You had that bonding, and that was an additional support for you to get up at that time and do your namaz. So these duas are required, but they are not the shart for doing. It's not a condition. You need to have the dua for that thing to happen. So do the work be and take the duas also. The more important thing is you have to take the initiative to do it. Don't just rely on the dua.
شیخ کی دعا برکت کا درجہ اعانت کا ہے نہ کہ کفایت کا. شیخ کی دعا اور برکت کو بھی بڑا دخل ہے اصلاح میں، لیکن اس کا درجہ محض اعانت کا ہے نہ کہ کفایت کا. جیسے عرق سونف کا مرتبہ مسحل میں، کہ محض عرق سونف بلا مسحل کے کارآمد نہیں. یا طبیب اور مریض کی مثال لے لو، اگر مریض دوا نہ پیے تو محض طبیب کی شفقت و توجہ سے مریض ہرگز اچھا نہ ہوگا. یا استاد و شاگرد کی مثال لے لو، کہ محض استاد کی توجہ سے سبق یاد نہیں ہوتا بلکہ شاگرد کے یاد کرنے سے ہی یاد ہوگا. شیخ کا اصل کام تو صرف راستہ بتانا ہے، باقی راستہ کا قطع کرنا تو سالک ہی کا کام ہے. جیسے اندھے کو سوانگ کا راہ بتاتا ہے، گود میں اٹھا کر اس کو نہیں لے جاتا، راستہ تو خود اس کے چلنے ہی سے قطع ہوگا.
He's given three examples just to illustrate this point here. One is of a patient, one is of a student, and the third is of a blind person, right? So the doctor may like the patient, maybe it's his child, maybe it's his nephew, so he's got a special liking for him. Now just on account of the love of the doctor, the patient is not cured. And you think, no, I got his blessing for him. I got his blessings, I got his muhabbat, etc. I'll just ride past this ailment. He'll get cured of it if he follows the script, whatever the doctor advises, eat this, don't eat this, take the medication twice a day, right? So the cure will come with applying the script and listening to the patient. Just his love, his attention is not sufficient. Same applies to a student as well. So the teacher may love that student, right? Maybe it's his son. So now the son says, no, my father just loves me, so I'm going to win. Why? Because my father loves me. So just that love is insufficient. He'll have to work. Like others work, then this son of yours, he'll also have to work. Or that is his foolishness, you know, I got my father, the buzrug. So he's on, I'll be on. He's a sheikh, so I'll become a buzrug also. I don't have to work. His buzrugi will help him, and you will have to work to see that you move on. And you just depend on him, the foolishness. Right? Similarly, it's a blind person, then his child or someone likes him, right? They like him now, they can show him, right? What to do, but he'll have to do the walking. He can't say now, people like me so much, so I'll just reach the masjid. He'll have to do the walking. So in all this, in restraining yourself or applying yourself, so two things, amar and nahi, someplace munkar and ma'ruf, right? So some places you have to apply yourself, some place you have to restrain. Some place you restrain, sometimes you apply. The restrain and the application, you will have to do it yourself. Now you expect that the sheikh or the teacher or the doctor does everything. That's just a dream. It's a far cry. Iski koi haqeeqat nahi, nothing more.
Istihzar aur himmat ka nuskha islah ke liye aksir hai. اخلاص و ہمت خلاصہ تصوف ہیں. ان دونوں میں بھی اصل چیز ہمت ہے، کیونکہ اخلاص پیدا کرنے کے لیے بھی ہمت کی ضرورت ہوگی، اور ہمت کا معین استحضار ہے. اور استحضار کی صورتیں مختلف ہیں. جو صورت شیخ تجویز کر دے اس پر عمل کرے. مثلا ہر کوتاہی پر 10 رکعت یا کم و بیش نفل بطور جرمانہ ادا کرنا، تاکہ جب دوسرا موقع کوتاہی کا پیش آئے تو جرمانہ کے خوف سے استحضار کی کیفیت پیدا ہو جائے، اور جب استحضار ہو جائے فوراً ہمت سے کام لے اور تقاضۂ نفس کو مغلوب کرے. اگر استحضار ہمت سے کام لے گا تو انشاءاللہ کوتاہیوں سے محفوظ رہے گا، اور رفتہ رفتہ اصلاح ہو جائے گی، اور ہر روز مطالعہ نزہت البساتین سے بھی قوت استحضار اور ہمت کو پہنچتی ہے.
توازو اختیار کیا تو صحیح ہو گیا، تعلی بربادی، توازو پھر In this part they talk a lot about himmat. There's two things that they speak about here. One is himmat and one is yaksui. Right? Himmat, you know, determination. And yaksui means to be focused. Sui is me of, it's a yaksu, it's a constructed word. So some words are unconstructed and some words are constructed. Like you say, mattress, right? So it's a constructed word, mat forest, right? Like you say window, right? So it's constructed, door for the wind, right? But some words are unconstructed and some are constructed. So yaksui is a constructed word. Yaksui means, su means one side. Yaksu is just on one. That means you focus on one thing. That means this focus of yours, you got that focus, then don't disrupt it. Don't go to such a place, don't mix up with such a person, don't do something that you will lose this focus of yours. A lot of things come and break and disrupt the focus, right? So one person comes to me, so he says that I was learning so well, flying through 3-4 pages and learning one way. And just one day I had to look at one stupid movie, and now to learn 2-3 lines became difficult. See, so when you went on to something that was not compatible to the mind or to the focus, right, then the focus broke down, smashed up. Now, what you were doing so easily, now you can't do it. Otherwise, before this, you were doing it, and you were doing it with such ease. So anything that breaks this focus, you have to be very, very careful. It's not that the focus is the maqsad, but definitely it will help you. Like how himmat will help you, then this focus also will help you. And today, I emphasize on this. If people are intelligent, they are strong, right? But then, when they can't move, the reason for them not moving in this path is there's no yaksui. Mind is scattered all over the place, here, there, everywhere. It's not in the work that they are doing. When it's not on the work that they are doing, then they can't get going. You know, in the work they think about, alright, what are you going to have lunchtime? Or, you know, there's a social event, I need to go for that. Or what about the groceries I need to buy for the house? And to have the money, and what's wrong with my wife? Every day she wants something and something. But can you concentrate on your work? Can't concentrate. So anything that comes to disrupt your focus, you have to try and learn to avoid it. Just be focused on the work. Now, because of this phone, etc., so you're getting such a smush of problems. Now, you get this attention deficit. What AD, what do you call it? Attention deficit. So, the reason for this is the same thing. The mind is focused, is running around everywhere. So how can you have that attention? Now you get sometimes simple people with, you know, exciting memories. So there was a boy, simple, Sheikh Musa, right, he passed away. Yeah. So, with his last year, he did the Qiraat course, he memorized the entire Quran Sharif, he sat in Etikaf, some of the programs he wouldn't sit, and on some days, one sipara he would learn in the day. He would learn one entire sipara, one sipara in the day. But now, how he managed it? He managed it because his mind was focused. Now you look at today's child, his mind is on the PlayStation, on the mall, on the holiday, or with a friend, the type of food he'll eat, which takeaway he has to go to, and that his takeaways are not right, he should change the thing. What about his tracksuit? What about his t-shirt? So his mind is all over the place. this person, the background that he's coming from, nothing thrilling. Living off the field, simple food, simple styles, mind are not running all over. So for them to grasp is very easy. See that? So in 1 year, he did everything. Qiraat, he memorized the Quran Sharif, he did his final year, and I think he came out second or third in the class. So I managed it. Our mind is stuck in the biryani, see that, the masala or the whatever, stuck there. He's not in that, in the papad, somewhere there. Right. Our mind is stuck up. And his mind was key of all this thing. Allah bless him. Right. But what I'm showing is when there's a focused mind, then how much you can achieve. Himmat, I spoke about himmat, I explained it earlier. But now, he's explaining that you can only move on with himmat, that determination. So now, you may ask how to build up that determination. So, you have to apply a penalty to yourself in order to build it up, right? Penalty must be a little bit hard, but you apply to yourself. You know, people are applying penalties, see that males, you know, but to others. Now, look up at time, you know, they're real mad, stupid people. So they'll apply this type of things to their wives. You just leave the house, 3 talaqs, finished. That hardness will be on yourself, not on her. You be hard on yourself and gentle to others. But now, how they turn the whole thing around? That their harshness is on others and you're gentle to yourself. You ever use that phone to your mother, talaq? Now, you see how the brains work. So that harshness must be applied to yourself. Like some people I told them, alright. See, one time you look at that thing, for 1 month, you don't eat any sugar. Absolutely no sugar for the entire month. Now, you can imagine what happened to that person. I think that if that this medication was used, if you lose sugar, will have to close down. You know this? Because every South African would have something in the breakfast, something after meals, something with sugar. You must have it. Like it's like a lazim with you. He said, don't take that now. After 1 month, 2 months, he didn't take it. He said, I won't do this again. Because it crossed his mind, the last time I had to give it up for 1 month, 2 months. And you know, what a difficult thing it was. So now, I'm not going to do it. So, your determination will build up when you apply some penalty and you commit it to that. So, two things here I said, one is focus, one is determination, and number three I said, to be hard to yourself, not too hard to others. To be harsh to yourself. Why you did this? Why he did this? You be hard on yourself. That was the ulama of Deoband, they're harsh on themselves. But on others they're very kind and very compassionate. But on themselves they're very hard. See, you went to that shop there, and then you went and look at that auntie. You're not going to go to the shop again. Finish. See? So you're hard on yourself, not on others. Others, kind, considerate. But on yourself, be.
حال کی دو قسمیں ہیں. تصوف میں رسوخ اعمال اختیاریہ مطلوب ہیں, نیز مأمور بھی محبت عقدی ہے نہ کہ طبعی. حال کے دو معنی ہیں, ایک تو کیفیت غیر اختیاریہ, دوسرے رسوخ اعمال اختیاریہ. دوسرے معنی میں حال کا ترتب لازم ہے کیونکہ وہ موعود ہے. ففی الحدیث کذالک الایمان اذا خالطه بشاشة القلوب, وفي كلام الله تعالى فمن يريد الله ان يهديه يشرح صدره للاسلام. اور تصوف میں یہی حال مطلوب ہے, جب کوئی شخص اعمال صالح بتکلف اختیار کرتا ہے, رفتہ رفتہ ان اعمال میں سہولت ہونے لگتی ہے اور کیفیت راسخہ پیدا ہو جاتی ہے, اور گو یہ کیفیت صالحہ مثلا محبت حق تعالیٰ کے ساتھ پیدا کرنا واجب ہے, کیونکہ نصوص میں اس کی تحصیل کا اثر ہے, بخلاف شوق و ذوق کے اس کی تحصیل کا کہیں بھی امر نہیں. جس محبت کی تحصیل مأمور بھی ہے وہ عقلی ہے, اور محبت عقلی اختیاری ہے, بخلاف محبت طبعی کے کہ وہ غیر اختیاری ہے, اس لیے مأمور بھی بھی نہیں ہے.
So there's two things. One is محبت, one is ذوق and شوق, one is passion and the other is enthusiasm, yearning, right? So the enthusiasm and yearning, is it in you or it comes to you? See? It comes. It's not a thing that's a Jews alliance from, right? It's not a thing that you can separate from yourself. See, like the eyes is part of you, right? And you can't separate, right? But now enthusiasm is not something that is in your control. It's built up, right? You become enthusiastic, right? So the enthusiasm is a thing that you build up. And so because it's not in you, therefore it's not a requirement for iman. Though it's a support, it's a help. You become too enthusiastic, right? Yearning. Like for example, the better word for this, for the zok would be crave, right? So crave is something that comes, right? Is not part of your makeup. What? Is not your makeup. It comes to you, but crave. Right? It's craving for rock cocaine, right? So that crave itself, right, is not part of your makeup. So, if it's not part of your makeup, then that's not a requirement. Though it's good, right, you want to crave for the good things, right? You want to crave for example, kitabs. It's a good thing. You want to crave for the tahajjud namaz, right? So, that's a good thing, right? So, the other is love, right? Love is a juz elazim. It's part of your makeup. So then the love are two types. One is aqli and one is tabi, right? One is love that is just natural, right? Just came. You saw someone and now love just came. Yeah? In Jobal, we have a neighbor, so he should say some shayir, you know, Thursday night. So one of the lines I can remember would say, "Main aashiq to nahi, lekin jabke maine tumko dekha, to aashiqi aayi gayi, aa gayi. Jab se maine tujhko dekha, to aashiqi aa gayi." So, one is love, right? And one is crave. So, love is at two levels. One is aqli, and one is tabi, right? One is a natural love. Natural love. So, that's not what it's spoken about. You know, say, man ahabba lillah, abhada lillah. That's not the natural love. Right? See, Abu Talib, he had a natural love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? He didn't have an aqli love for the way of Rasulullah. He had a natural love. So it wasn't of any good to him after that. He didn't have it. He didn't have it. Right? It couldn't help him out because that love was just a natural love. Like a mother has a natural love for the child, right? Can you stop that? can't stop it, that's natural. But the love that is being spoken about is the love that you would build up. You would build up. Your mind says, this is the right thing, I must do it. Your mind takes a liking for it. So it may be that you are not very comfortable with it, right? Naturally, you've got a little bit of an aversion, right? But your mind says, the right thing, I like it, it's the right thing. But it may be that you have a little bit of a natural aversion, right? And now, you've got a toothache, right? So, you want an aversion to see a doctor, a dentist, they inject me, then you start all these machines, all that. So, you want a natural aversion. But your mind is saying, hey, whatever it is, we'll have to go and sort this thing out. So, what is taken into consideration is this reasoning of yours. So the love and the action that is prompted by your reasoning. So that's the love that is required. See that love came, that came with your reasoning, right? Now it's a cold day and there's no hot water available, right? And you have to make wuzu, right? So naturally you have a little bit of an aversion, right? Say, cold water, make wuzu now, no arrangements here. But your mind will tell you, right, no ways you will miss out that Fajr namaz, you're going to get that Fajr namaz. Come what, but you're going to get that Fajr namaz time. Right? And you hear some strange cases, you got that himmat. That himmat, and that himmat, that bonding you got, that reasoning. So your reasoning using it right. So it'll make you do a lot of things. So that love that is based on reasoning, that's the love that is required. So one person was traveling with us, like overseas flight. About 2 o'clock in the morning, he discovered he requires a Faraz bath. But now, the reasoning, the love that is based on reasoning, that was so high in him, he went into the bath. I don't know how he did it, his karamat, but he had a full ghusl. So what was that? See, the attachment to that namaz was so great, so I can't leave this namaz, I have to sort myself out. How do I do it? Went out, and that time I suppose the toys aren't used. 2 o'clock in the morning. Someone told me his wife now, and around the same time in the morning, she just became parked. She just became parked, and they're traveling, and she became parked. She sneaked into the toilet in the plane, she had a full ghusl, and then came out. But that muhabbat, that love is based on reasoning. Although your natural self is, hey man, how can I do this, going to the toilet and such a filthy place and what, and then you turn away from that. So that's not the requirement. The requirement is this muhabbat that's based on reasoning. See, the basis of it is reasoning. I'm the Muslim, my namaz. Everybody's going to gain, all Muslims. I'll be looking like a kafir here, not doing my namaz. You know? So that muhabbat was prompted by what? By akhwat, right? You see that? I'm not talking to this person here, right? So I have a natural aversion. Like, whatever happened, but my reasoning is telling me, hey, what a stupid thing now. Just talk to him, and du'as will be answered. لا تنزل الرحمة على قوم فيه قاطع رحيم. all the people here will get deprived because of me not having a good rapport, right? So why must I be acting so sulky and selfish? Talk to the person nicely, finish. Forget the past. No, let us now look at it positively, that because of my selfish reasoning, I'm not going to do this. As a result, the whole crowd here will be deprived. So why must I act so selfish? Forget it, that is temperament. Someone's temperament is this, someone's that. Everybody don't have to think like how I think. They don't have to reason like how I reason. But yet, yes, it's my duty to be good, to be kind. So let's ride beyond our differences as carry on. So you see this love, that love that is based on your reason. That's the requisite of Iman. Alright, that Muhabbat al-Tabri, the natural love, is also good, right? But it's not a requisite. Natural love and love based on your reasoning. So that's what you're accountable for, on your reasoning. Okay?
طریقہ یا حصول یقین. اول بتکلف عمل کرنا چاہیے, اس کی برکت سے یقین پیدا ہو جاتا ہے, اور کوئی طریقہ حصول یقین کا نہیں ہے.
Get that yaqeen, right? Jamaat, say, so you ask someone, what are the 12? Say, Iman yaqeen. So now, how to build up that yaqeen? Yaqeen, conviction, certainty. How you build it up? So, first, you heard, alright, this is faraz. Fajr namaz is faraz. And you heard some virtues. But no, you get this namaz, the whole day will be good, be blessed. So now, though it is difficult to get up at that time, make wuzu and go to the masjid, but now it's enough. I must do it. You put yourself into it, right? But it's the first requirement to build up the yaqeen, is to apply yourself. To apply yourself. That's the first requisite in the building up of the yaqeen. Though it may be difficult, though it may be hard, come what may, I will apply myself. So that's, if you look at it carefully, then that's also a type of himmat, right? That himmat will build up your yaqeen. Because you have to apply yourself. And you didn't apply yourself, you know, for your time, leave the house, comfortable bed. You see afterwards, Allah Pak is the full rahim. And you didn't apply yourself then that himmat goes, and the yaqeen also weakens. But you say, no, come with me, I must do it. So when you did it now, then yaqeen is strengthened.
Aql o iman badi daulat hai. Kisi hal ka tarif hona aur chande jari rehna, ye bhi badi daulat hai. Hamesha rehne ki cheez to sirf aql o iman hai, baaki sab mein amad o raft rehti hai.
Yeah. Every other thing is fleeting, comes and goes, right? The beauty that you had when you were 16 years of age, now you say, hey, but who is this so beautiful Amrit here? And you know, who is this ugly Chacha here? You look at the photo, right? Say when you're 15, 16 years of age, right? Hardly any beard, nothing. Hey, who is this man so handsome? And then you look yourself now when you are now over 50, wrinkles and freckles and all that, right? Okay, hey, who is this Chacha here and who is this? Right. So every other thing is fleeting. It's transitory, is fleeting, right? But the thing that remains in you all the time is Aqal and Iman. Right? The intelligence, the brain, in that remains. That doesn't leave you. Right? So, when this is the thing that remains with you, then you have to take care of it. Aql and Iman. Because the Aql, you are answerable proportionate to your brains. See, the child, when he dies in infancy, then he's not subject to any reckoning. Why? Because his mind was not fully developed. Even in law, there's a small child, he committed a crime, right? So he's not answerable. They won't take him to jail. Say he bust someone's window, right? So they may give 1-2 shots, right? That also is now questionable. Is it legal to hit the child? Right? But what I'm saying, he's not answerable. Why? Because his mind is not fully developed. Right? So the whole, the basis is the mind being developed. So you're answerable proportionate to your goodness of your mind. Therefore you see a mad person mentally challenged, he's exempt from the law. Isn't he exempt? Why is he exempt? Because his mind is not developed. Therefore he's exempt. So the thing that makes you answerable and responsible is your mind. So then, and that's the thing that makes you answerable and responsible, then that faculty has to be well developed and well disciplined. Because, see, the value comes into the person according to how much he's disciplined himself. The simple example is like an untrained horse, right? Wild. So the owner will pay you to take it away. See that nuisance here? Take it away. It's not trained. But the other one is disciplined. He knows where to gallop, where to trot, where to jump, where to stand up in 2 feet, on the hind feet, right? He knows all the tricks, right? Everything. So it's learned it very, very well, right? So now that thing you'll pay a couple of millions for. And the Sunya, they'll say, take it for free. Take it. You don't need this thing. So what was the value? What was the reason for the value? Is the discipline. And the discipline in you is based on your akal, on your brains. The more you are disciplined, that means you have used your brains. And you didn't use your brain then there's no discipline in you, and there's no value in you. So the value comes on your mind. How well disciplined you are, then you become valuable, you become loved, you are respected wherever you go, because of the level of discipline that you have got in. As the Imam used to say, he and Sayyid Sulaiman Nazvi. Sayyid Sulaiman was in the beginning of the 19th century, amongst the leading ulama, right? But now, so well disciplined this person was, so he had to be accompanying Hazrat Imam Sayyid. So if they had to ascend a staircase, then he would see that Hazarji first goes up. But if they have to come down, then he'll come down first, and thereafter Hazarji. Because in his mind, that discipline requires that going down, right, then I mustn't be higher than him. I must be lower than him. If you're going up, then he's definitely going to be higher, so let him be in front. One of these disciplines. Allah Khayyab Sahib Rahmatullahi, the old alumni, not a lot of things have changed, right? So the staircase to the office, very narrow, only one person can go. Difficulty maybe the second person. So it's a narrow staircase going up to the office. So now you know what students are? Running. Where you'll see this on the bridge. So I have to put a notice that please don't run. That's common student, right? So now, one student is coming down, coming with speed. And Qari Sahib going. And he bumped into Qari Sahib. When Qari Sahib was about over 70. And you can imagine what the impact might have been. But now, the discipline Qari Sahib, that was the thing to see. So, he didn't tell him a word. He said, "Any chot to nahi lagi? You aren't hurt, and carry on, move on." But you see that discipline. So your value is proportionate to your discipline. And your discipline is controlled by your mind. So that is why, right, anything that disrupts the mind, right, when the Sharia says made forbidden, wine, what does it do? It disrupts the mind. Your thinking goes off. Right? لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون. Right? The drunkenness, intoxication, so they disrupt the whole mind. When the mind is disrupted, then your performance, your behavior will go off. Why? Because your mind has been. There was a sharia that can't even come in namaz. تقرب الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Right? Can't happen.